The thoughts, views, and opinions expressed on Group Chat are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of Buffalo Toronto Public Media, its leadership, or its affiliates. Enjoy the show.
Welcome back to the chat. Hello, I am Bentley, here with Naila Ansari Cotillo.
We're here, we're back.
Our group chat has been
blowing up.
Fire.
People have been acting up recently, y'all.
Yeah.
And the group chat has been ding, 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 ding.
There's lots going on. A lot of it is around reality TV.
Yes.
So we've done our research and we're going to break
mostly
a lot of it down.
FBI agent Bentley over here. And Charles and I have been catching up like, wait, who is this?
I intend to do some deep dives. Don't put anything in front of me. Charles, what's going on?
Charles is here.
I am here. I am present. And make sure you like, comment, and subscribe.
There you go.
That's all I can say.
I think with this date of the scroll, you might have to introduce him, though. How you?
Oh, well, because we're starting out. Charles, there's a lion. Oh, my God. It's a lion. Charles.
Charles.
Would you like to tell everybody while we're back on The Lion King this morning?
Okay. Yeah. So let's dive into this. So as you guys remember, one of the episodes that we did, we discussed the viral moment from a podcast where African comedian broke down the actual lyrics to The Lion King's intro, Circle of Life. But apparently, the Lion King composer has filed a $27 million lawsuit against this comedian for misrepresenting its lyrics. Now.
But technically, those are the lyrics. So, like, what's the problem? I don't understand what the issue is.
So, I have a lot to say about this, but I'm just going to sum it up like this. I hate to be the one. This episode, I may be the one that people will deem as the race baiter. Joe Rogan, Timon and Pumbaa, when they were doing the rollout for the live action, did the same thing. They addressed how that meaning was, oh my God, it's a lion. And this composer did not file a lawsuit. But you're filing a lawsuit with this African, who's an African, about the misrepresentation of these lyrics.
Who arguably doesn't have $27 million to pay you because he is online selling t-shirts to try to get for his attorney.
He got hit with a subpoena while on stage.
Which is insane to me because it's like, first of all, how old is The Lion King? Let's just start with that. We're like at least 20 years in.
Oh, this
right?
Is,
so yeah. Why are you upset? And the technicality of it is just like, but that is what the lyrics are. Like, you can't put someone's, like, your intention of what you want the meaning to mean, because it's a terrible lawsuit. I hope it gets dismissed, and I hope that the comedian gets some money back.
And that composer's just mad because it went viral, and now everybody knows the secret. Because the other story was so kind of not relevant.
Well, I mean, it was during a press run.
Yeah.
You know, and you would think that during a press run, it probably would garner more attention.
Yeah.
But honestly, it was just like, oh, okay, it's...
You know what I think it is? I think all those new Lion Kings are a hot mess. And I think they're just trying to recoup off of, you know, the glory years of the original Lion King. So they're just trying to, you know, make themselves relevant. Because, I don't know, did y'all watch the other ones with, like, Blue Ivy and all them? Was it Blue Ivy?
I've seen the live action, which is the one that, but all the other ones, like, no, I haven't. I did see Mufasa.
Oh, that's the one. Oh, I like him.
Yeah.
Aaron Pierre. That's Mufasa.
And then if you think about it, the original Lion King, like you said, came out so long ago. That was pretty much before social media.
But also, he is the composer of The Lion King. Do you know how many residuals that man is getting? Why do you? I need you to go sit at home and still collect those residuals that's going on Broadway and everywhere else.
And he probably got actually, you know, more hits on Spotify and Apple Music.
I didn't even know who he was. I was still on Elton John and Rice was the... as a composer, but maybe that was just me on my piano book when I was five learning to play Circle of Life.
So moving on. I'm just going to run through these right quick. Michael Jackson's estate fires back at Paris Jackson after she slammed biopic. Paris Jackson has been on somewhat of a run going against the biopic. She's been outspoken on it, saying that it's not the perfect representation of her father, but most biopics is not a perfect representation of somebody.
Then why does she do it? Okay, well then.
I'm gonna let
what
Bentley.
What does she remember from that? I mean, she was not born yet.
Yeah.
But also, is she his child? That's a whole other. That's a different conversation.
We can get back to it when we get closer to the release of the movie. Bentley, I'm gonna let you deal with this one. Chapel Road Securities and Hot
Water. I can't with her anymore. Sorry. I just
come on, Bentley.
All this fan stuff. So Chapel Roan's fans made her overnight. And you know, she didn't have this big publicity machine behind her. She started out with this like cult following, and the fan base just carried her right up. Okay, and now you're gonna act like, I don't know if it's because I'm a mom, but how are you gonna send security after a little kid who looked at you? And then to have the security guard take the blame for it and say he was there with somebody else. No, you weren't. Then you were with her at the airport. Like, stop. I just, if you don't want to be famous and you don't want to be in the spotlight,
I agree.
There are ways to not be in the spotlight. And I get that it's harder now. However, there's people that do it. And if you are that bothered by it, you made a ton of money. Just go hide out somewhere now. Like,
right.
Like, you have to, I get she's got some pretty intense fans, but.
It's not Rihanna fans. I wouldn't call her a fan, but it's not Rihanna says that she just dealt with.
Yeah, and I do understand that part of it, of like being nervous about, you know, crazy fans. But like, if you've seen some of the clips, and there's just always an issue with fans.
Yeah.
And the clips are like somebody walks by and she's like pointing because they have a camera.
But we don't live in that kind of world anymore.
No.
Like the years of like Denzel Washington where you don't need a social media is over.
Yeah. And then she posted a story that she didn't know anything about it. And then next thing you know, the security guard's taking the blame. I'm like, first of all, this is not crafted
they all
well.
Need lessons from Mariah Carey. That's all I'm saying. Mariah Carey is the best.
You know, I don't know. I don't think her fans are very loyal. I don't know if that's going to affect her fan base, but
it won't.
But I'm on the outside saying, like, I liked her, and now I'm just, stop.
She's done.
Well, moving on, it seems so as if, as Nyla stated earlier, our chat was full with a lot of messy drama and all this, because apparently at the Oscars after party, there was some tension between Justin Bieber and Usher.
I have thoughts on this. conspiracy.
I want to hear it.
Yeah. What's your...
I think they were fighting about Diddy because basically being like, I haven't seen Diddy do anything and he's always been a good person. And I think Justin and Usher, they're a little falling out because Justin's like, you know, now granted, this is all conspiracy, but just like, you know what happened to me? Like, you know, you had me in these situations I shouldn't have been in. And Usher like, yo, we got to protect each other. And Justin's just tired of it. And that's it. I think they just popped off. I think Justin is in his grown man, Jesus Christ, you know, is my savior world, and he's not afraid of anybody.
Well, and I think you just did like an accurate possible lip reading because that's how I imagined the conversation going.
That's what I think Usher saw Justin was like, yo, what's up with like, how you gonna run our man like that? Like, you just not, like, you're not gonna defend him or, so, you know, because they go back a really long time. It has to be something deep.
Yeah, because Usher pretty much discovered him.
Yeah, that's
him
what
on
I thought.
And everything.
Oh, yeah.
So I.
And Justin was so young, so you could kind of see him being in that world and wanting to just do everything he was supposed to do and make people happy and, you know, his mentor and then, you know, being at these parties. So.
Or Justin's wilding out and he popped off at the wrong one and Usher was like, I'm not the one, and pulled up on him. So that could also be.
Oh, yes. I could see that,
that's
too.
That's the counter to my
There
to
could
my
have been
thoughts.
Drinking involved.
But I definitely think it's Diddy just because I think it's been quiet on Diddy for a while. So I'm just going to resurface.
So to wrap it up, the biggest thing that we're going to be talking about is this reality TV, the drama Taylor Frankie Paul, who was scheduled to be the latest Bachelorette. There was videos that have been coming out through TMZ about domestic violence that has happened. Since these videos have come out, the show ABC has canceled The Bachelorette, but apparently she's still going to be getting paid for it. We can dive into that when we get back into our, we get back from these here.
Well, I just have to say, you know, I'm dedicated to this show because I did my research and I started watching Secret Life of Mormon Wives when it was mentioned before on this show. So then I only watched a couple episodes, but then I had to go back and watch it. So I just shows you my dedication because I normally probably would have not watched that. I'm not above it, but it's a
context.
Yeah. Mom talk. Swinger talk. Okay, we'll talk about that.
We'll talk about all that when we get back.
Public media keeps our community talking and thinking together. Hear perspectives that matter on BTPM NPR. Experience meaningful stories on BTPM PBS. Enjoy performances that connect us on BTPM Classical and discover new voices on BTPM The Bridge. These are conversations that shape our region and open our world. This is Public Media. Visit btpm.org.
Why do so many people turn to Buffalo Toronto Public Media? It's because we bring you more than just TV and radio. We deliver trusted news, inspiring performances, and programs for the whole family. From Nova and Frontline to BTPM NPR's local news and music sessions from BTPM Classical and BTPM The Bridge. Public Media connects you to the stories, music, and moments that matter. Explore more at btpm.org. This is Public Media.
Welcome back to Group Chat. I'm Bentley. Here is Nyla Ansari Cotillo. Charles. You can't say he's lying anymore. I don't know. We might get sued, so maybe I'm not gonna do that. And now we are joined by Allie Brady, comedian and in arena host for the Buffalo Bandits, and a cast member of Real Housewives of Cheektowaga.
The Real Ladies. That's it. Yes, I am. Here I am in the flesh. Here I am, everyone.
I can't wait to talk about it. And Elise Breeze, head of our digital department here at Buffalo Toronto Public Media, who is do I call you a reality TV fan?
Yeah, I would say I'm a fan.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like you can dive into it.
I have a lot to say.
Okay.
That's why they called me down here.
Yeah.
That's it. They said, hey, are you on standby? Because we're talking about reality TV today.
Nice. Okay. So obviously all of the drama right now is around Secret Life. I wanted to say sister. Because of
sister wives. It used to be sister
wives. Yeah,
that Mormon. That was the drama before.
Yes. That was the start of all this. Let's blame it on sister wives.
It's always the women's fault. Come on.
During,
always our fault.
It's during
International
fault.
Women's it is Month,
Cody,
no less.
I know. It is Cody Brown's fault.
Secret Life of Mormon Wives, and now all of the drama with The Bachelorette. So I wanted to get the take from a reality TV star and kind of find out the other side of it a little bit, just because we like to show different perspectives here on Group Chat. So I talked to Renee Ash, and she is the she was on Love Undercover, which Allie has seen, and has we'll have some comments. And she's currently going to be in another reality TV show that she can't mention, and is doing some acting. So here's what Renee had to say. Welcome to the Group Chats. Renee Ash, entertainment personality and actress. You may know her from reality shows such as The American and Love Undercover. She's now involved in a new reality show and is doing short films. So thank you for joining us today, Renee.
Thank you for having me back.
I know. So we had Renee in the studio with Alexa, and you know Alexa Zappia that we've had on Group Chat. She's a casting director, and she brought Renee in because Renee was going to visit her. You came to visit Alexa as a friend, and we brought her into the studio to do a takeover of The Bridge. There's a lot of drama going on with reality TV. So I wanted to get your take on being a reality star and now an actress and continuing to be an actress, and also, you know, your experience. So first of all, right now, what is life like after doing some of the reality shows that you've done?
Life right now has been me for the past year and a half sacrificing my entire social life to get really good at acting, because it takes a long time to master. But within that year and a half and making huge sacrifices, I'm starting to get booked. So it's really exciting. I just did another reality show, so I don't know how life will be after that one. That one is a whole new beast.
I'm excited.
And yeah. And I've been saying yes to like all experiences to get on set. So it's just an easier, quicker way if you actually put in the work to start actually working sooner in the acting world. But back to reality.
Did you feel that reality TV opened doors for you? You have to be your own talent though too. So I hate to even say that, because you have to walk through those doors as well.
I'd say it did and it didn't. I had like a great like 15 minutes of like being known, having fun on social media. But the blessing in disguise is when that slows down, everybody expects that they're going to be like this big star from whatever reality show they do. The truth is you're not, unless you keep going and getting more shows, or it's something that's like reoccurring. But if you're on one season, I'm sorry to tell you, it's enjoy your 15 minutes. But then once so back to when that slowed down, I was like, well, I saw that going differently. I was one of the people who was like, oh, I'll just get more show offers after this. But no, I was like, I loved every part of filming Love Undercover. And I loved being in front of the camera. So it started with loving being on camera to actually loving the craft of acting. And like, that is what I'm meant to be doing.
How did you feel going through that process? Was that your first reality show, or was that the first big reality show for you?
Yeah, Love Undercover was my first reality show. And I have to say, I got so lucky with my experience on that one. I just had the time of my life. I met great girlfriends. I mean, I still like get on a plane to go see some of them. Still talk to one of the guys from the show. Whenever he's in the US, we'll meet up. And I just got lucky. Like, I got to not deal with the drama. I was kind of on the outside of the drama. I fell in love on a dating show. I now know it's a different experience for a lot of people, but I had it good on that one. I found my guy right away. We stuck together.
Yeah. And then, you know, it seemed like you dealt with it very well after the fact too, because there could be a lot of uncertainty in shows around love. And it seems like you had a good experience even after the show was done.
Well,
or not.
I asked me to. Let's just say it was a good lesson.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I went through it. The guy I was with from Love Undercover asked me to move in to his home in London, or outside of London. So I move in, and like a week later, he's like, Renee, I don't think this is going to work out. And I was like, okay. And so I just didn't even, I was like, say no more. That's rude. So I just packed up all my stuff. He booked me a hotel, in London. And so I just spent another few weeks like living life out in London. Sad, but I was having fun.
So, you know, after the fact and during the show, I know you mentioned the 15 minutes of fame on social media. What was your experience with social media and interacting with that when you were doing the show and then after the show?
So, I mean, I couldn't even talk about it until the show came out. So once it came out, I got mixed reviews, but then people started to see who I really am. Because at first, you know, I come off with a very, specifically in that show, like money hungry, gold digging type of vibe. But that is not who I am. But yes, I want a successful man to be with. Who doesn't? Anyway. Okay, so I got this DM and comment like maybe hundreds of times. It said, I hated you at first, but then you became my favorite.
So back to like the current state and the things that are going on in reality TV, what is your take on that? Because you've been on the other side of it and you've, you know, and what you're seeing now, like, what do you think about everything that's going on?
So generally, I'll say there's just like, it's kind of lost its meaning. There's too many shows. There's like people like quitting their jobs to try to get famous on reality TV. And it's just giving people the wrong idea of what it's meant to be and what life is. And it's giving people this, when they do get on a show, and we'll segue right into Taylor, Frankie, whatever her name is. Like, who has the confidence or like lack of self-awareness because it gets attention to be like wasting so much of network's money and then also acting like that, throwing a chair at her child, and then like retaliating against people who are like, that was wrong. Like, at least own up to it. Jesus Christ. But also, she had a criminal record. I think the network could have done I understand they wanted to be controversial, but like, when you go on a reality show, you have to do psych evaluations, background. There's no way that she would have passed those. So I think it was just a not smart, unsafe decision to cast her as a main bachelorette.
Yeah. Did you, now it's, you know, all this other stuff is resurfacing. Did you have any experiences where there were things that were posted about you or shared about you that weren't accurate? Did you face anything like this?
Yeah. I mean, of course, you're going to get some bad or people who just sit behind their screens and just hate you for no reason. But my past relationship came up like the day the show aired. The first article was of my past relationship, which was a public thing. And it was, even when they posted this article, the story still wasn't accurate. So that was super annoying. But there's like, I know myself, the people who matter most in my life know me, so I just can't care after this long. And also, if you want to believe a weird story to entertain yourself, go do it. I don't care.
Were you empowered to be able to tell the story, or did you just want it to go away?
I just want that story to go away. Like, that happened when I was 24, 25. My brain cells weren't there. No synapses were like connecting. I didn't have a frontal lobe. I'm 29 now. Like, I get it. Things make sense now. So it's like comparing a different person to who I am now. So like, if that story follows me, it's just, it's a different person. I don't care.
Yeah.
It wasn't me.
Yeah. No. So what advice would you give to somebody or other people that may be going through issues in being on a reality show, or somebody that's considering doing a reality show? Are there things that you would have told yourself, you know, your past self, that you could tell somebody to pass on to them?
Yeah. I mean, depends on how you want to to do the show, but I would say think before you speak, which is something I have a problem with. I say whatever is on my mind, and that sometimes is a good thing and sometimes it's not such a good thing. If you don't want dirty laundry being aired out, don't do it. And if you don't have thick skin and can't handle criticism, definitely don't do it. You will be destroyed. No matter if you are like the sweetheart, there is gonna be people who hate you no matter what and just want to talk badly on somebody just because they're doing well or likable. So you really got to have thick skin if you're going to put yourself out there.
You made it through.
So thick skin, Bentley.
Well, thick skin.
I shouldn't even be doing this show because I do not have thick skin. Okay. I wanted to have the perspective of somebody that's actually doing these things. So I just want to like start with a couple of things that she said.
All of that checked. My thoughts about what I think of reality star. Okay, the first thing was the acting situation. That's when I need this to stop. There's very few people I think that can cross over. Yeah, like a NeNe or a Tammy Roman, but arguably you're hiring them for their personalities. Mm-hmm. Us just thinking that we're going to be reality stars and then go into a really deep, heavy craft and think we're about to make it is like absurd to me. Like stay in your lane, because that's what, at some point when you're trying to be an actor, when you're on reality TV, you become so much of a personality that I can't even believe you unless you're actually that good of an actor, which usually none of them are. You become like this caricature, which is totally defeats the purpose of acting and like the depth of it.
Right.
Well, and I think the acting is even being brought up in a reality TV discussion. I don't think that the general public still, or the general viewer still understands that these are casted shows.
Yes.
There's character plots that are sketched out.
Yeah.
You know, so even that perspective of, is this real and what each character is being told to do or retold to do if they're not acting a certain
Everyone
way.
Has a producer.
Yeah.
That's telling them, great, oh, lean into that.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And they're all scenes and everything else that you have to like prepare for. Or they set up, you know, they set up all types of circumstances so you can behave the way that they know you're going to behave.
Yeah. Yep. And also the Nayla, kind of to your point of, you know, a reality star going into acting, it's also like how influencers now are doing interviews for the red carpet for the Oscars.
Oh,
and like
Vanity
Fair, like just because you have one little talent doesn't mean you have to venture out to everything or you're not good at everything. But I don't know. I thought that was
I don't want to see that either, because that doesn't mean you can ask good questions
and most
or research or anything else.
Communication degrees in broadcasting and journalism is a way different field. And it's actually not easy. It's
which is why Inspector Gadget over here
gives
us all the tea.
Listen, I am a journalist by trade, by degree. So, you know.
And you were putting that to good use. We saw.
Oh, she is. We get it all before TMZ comes out. Good Billy tells us that TMZ is like 5 hours later. Like,
our group chat with Charles is like, it just starts like going off.
And by the way, just not to divert, but earlier you were talking about the comedian that's being sued for $27 million. As a comedian, like, that's not what we make like 2 free beer tickets at a show.
I know.
I was like, what? No, no.
All he could do was laugh. When he got the order, he was like, I'm getting served because this is
insane.
Absurd.
Who's getting sued? I hadn't heard about this.
The Lion King song. Did you see the
showed me.
Now he's...
You're part of the problem, Elise.
See, look, I'm spreading it. He's getting sued now by the composer for... Lion King song.
Yeah, because you couldn't translate it before.
So right.
You got to blame social media for that one.
Yeah.
If we're going to.
Right.
So I think one of the things that also stood out to me, because I've heard this about the psych evaluations, and she mentioned it. And I always thought that was like a network cover to say that they do that to keep people safe. I feel like it's kind of a smoke and mirrors thing.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. But then she mentioned it. And so, I mean, what, like you were saying, what is the evaluation? Like you can't.
I don't think that First of all, any evaluation that short of a time frame, except this is someone that was on Dance Moms, so I've been on a reality show, not on purpose, but I was teaching there and got on by proxy of just because I was teaching. But also someone that worked in casting, that turnaround is so quick that there's no way you're doing all these in-depth evaluations the way that they're saying. They may do like a one you might just do for work, like, are you capable of doing X, Y, and Z? Yeah. Yes or no, but like there's no way to have anything thorough like that because the turnaround is so fast when you're doing these castings and trying to get a show up because time is money in productions.
Yeah.
So yeah, they might do it for like legal reasons to say, oh, well, they passed our evaluation, but it's not anything that's going to be in depth that any psychiatrist I would probably feels comfortable that they can really wholeheartedly say all these people are mentally healthy.
Right. We're not breaking into the tell me about your childhood trauma.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Can you lift 10 pounds or more?
You have all these people coming in and it's like you're not paying folks an absorbent amount of money to really have those kind of deep evaluation. And then when you find out someone might have some issues, then what do? They're not paying for them to go into any kind of, rehab. And to a certain extent, you want people that kind of have that edge because they make the show good. So you're not getting everyone that's like emotionally stable.
Yes. Right. I want a reality show of all the people that did not pass the psych eval. Put them in a house.
But you know what? What's the show?
House of Villains.
House of Villains. And the show that they used to get the addicts on. Celebrity Rehab.
Celebrity Rehab.
Yes. They definitely did not pass the psych eval.
No, but that was pretty real to how treatment works.
Yeah.
Like he was like a legit Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
Might have had a little crush back in the day. He's kind of veered away from that.
Well, yeah, he's trying to probably get legitimate again.
He's kind of, but I don't know. The stuff he's doing now doesn't seem as doctor-like. But anyway, I digress.
He fell for the fame. The group chat now.
wellness.
The expose will be released in 5 hours.
But, I think it was funny because when I met Renee in person, she was nothing like the character on Love Undercover. And she was very friendly, very nice. And, seeing all this drama with Taylor, Frankie, Paul, I'm like, yes, it's crazy, but there are so many layers to this that we are just feeding into. And, the video of her domestic violence arrest is horrible. But like, also, the guy that she was with was, if you've watched the show, evil. Does not have a good past. So I feel like she's getting all the blame right now. And I feel like that's what happens. It's always the crazy, the crazy woman, emotional and out of control. But like, what happened before that video?
Mm-hmm. Well, people hit their breaking point too.
Yeah.
They get to a point where like, they just spaz and they lose it because you can only take but so much. But I think that happens in society. Like how many people are police officers, firefighters, physicians domestic violence is huge.
Yeah.
So it's part of the course that it comes out. But most people don't know that comes out because it stays pretty private for the most part.
Yeah. And how many people manipulate situations? So then they're going to a psych eval and they're manipulating the doctor who's evaluating them.
Oh, yeah, especially if I only have an hour with you.
100%. Right. So she had an issue. I know this was in 2023. And then there was another issue that happened in a car, which then in February, which then paused production of her show. Right. Is that kind of what's going on?
I think so. Yeah. I don't know all the ins and outs of the second.
He spilled a drink on her. That's
situation.
What it is.
I know, oh, really?
I know. Yeah. Sorry. I know everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. In a car.
I'm still trying to get through the first one. I was trauma
and
watching.
They led with that in Secret Life.
In season one, episode
in season
one.
Yes. They led so with they knew. That arrest.
2023.
I think that's what really gets me about this because I think, I do think Dakota is an evil, evil man. And I think men should have to start in jail and work their way out. He's one of them. I'm just kidding. Not all of them. Just Dakota. He really needs to. But he's a bad guy. And Taylor, I do think that she's a victim in this situation. But I also think that they've exploited her on Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. They started with this.
Right.
Season one, episode one. They knew what they were kind of getting themselves into. And then putting her on The Bachelorette under so much scrutiny, knowing that she's a bit problematic and knowing that she's
unwell.
Yes. And I just... I don't know. Something about it just doesn't really sit right with me. No. You know?
Yeah. Which is probably why they're still paying her. That's what Charles told us. State of the scroll. He told us that she's still getting paid.
I believe it.
The contract. There's a little rumor I've heard that they'll probably pause The Bachelor for a year, the whole franchise, just to kind of get their eggs back in
honestly,
a row. But
good.
But yeah. Viewership is down, right?
Viewership is down 60%. The Bachelorette last year was not on, and then that was supposed to be in the summer, and then in the fall, The Bachelor didn't go on. Their numbers are down. There's less than a 12% success rate in reality TV dating in general. So, you know, viewers, we like say this all the time, like we're getting smarter. So, yes, it is good TV, but, you know, and this would have been a great show. This would have been interesting. Yeah. Like this would have been very fun to watch. But what's the point now? And I think people are catching on.
Mm-hmm. Well, we proposed the Gay Bachelor here.
Yes.
In your workplace or on the TV show?
No, on the group chat.
Are we gonna? I was like, cool.
We were trying to plan it.
Are we gonna need to retitle it?
We might need to.
The Gay Bachelor. Why is it called The Bachelor?
The Bachelor.
The Velvet Marriage.
Because they haven't had one.
Mr. Mocktail.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Mocktail was gonna be our Bachelor.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
First episode, I think. Was that our first episode?
Yeah.
Check it out. We had a whole conversation about it.
Okay.
Well, and you know, like Allie, you know, well, to everybody's point, they exploited this right from the beginning. I think we were talking about off mic about accessibility. I think Elise, you were talking about, you know, you have these people from the Mormon religion who are not allowed to do anything. Mm-hmm. They can't drink coffee or tea. They can't have alcohol. And then all of a sudden, they're doing everything.
Yeah.
So she was very intoxicated. I'm not saying it's an excuse, but then what was the follow-up to that? Mm-hmm. They just kept showing her drinking in the show.
Yeah.
They were all like, I don't know. They had, remember when they had the soda party, but then they were like sneaking the alcohol in the hot tub.
Like in high school.
Like, you're grown adults.
That's like watching.
Have a gin and tonic if you want one.
Yeah, like, that's like watching like back in the day, someone's first semester of college.
Mm-hmm. And it's really like that. I did like a guest teaching in Southern Utah.
Oh.
And it is a very different experience. Like some people think of Utah and they kind of think of like the bigger cities. They like understand that there's Mormonism that and exists, and like they think more like Mitt Romney. But I've seen Sister Wives in real life. Like they have like the kind of like the chastity beads and things like that, like that they have at the university. A lot of the university students where I was guest teaching, they had husbands already like fully fleshed, 18 years old. Some of them had kids. It was a very different experience. Like you would go into a grocery store and see people shopping with their sister wives.
Yeah.
So it is very much immersed in that area, that state. But definitely in the southern part of the state is real life.
Well, when your religion is also so important in your life, especially and for Mormonism and then the secular world, and now we have access to everything and you're seeing, you know, what you can get from it. I don't know. Like, it's interesting how religion is going to change dramatically with the younger generations, because it's not fun anymore. It's not the purpose that it was 100 years ago, 50 years ago, you know?
Well, we see that now with like Christian nationalism. Like everybody has a cross on, but can't quote a Bible verse.
Yep. People won't eat meat on Lent for Friday, but they'll have a kid, you know, or have sex before marriage. And you're like, what is the line? But which is also great about free will, is that you get to decide what that means for you. Mm-hmm. But we're just watching it now on television and we're watching people's lives blow up, which, you know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they even talked about Botox and how there's a reason they can get it because of the place they go to, a special place.
Are they praying over it?
And I just, and you know, and then the mom talking, I was like, oh, mom talk, like, on TikTok. I'm like, oh, that's going to be like us crazy moms, like being there for each other and talking about our crazy days. I'm like, oh no.
No.
Nope. And then it turned into swinger talk.
Soft swinging.
But like, here's the thing. I'm not judging anybody's lifestyle, but I got the impression that a lot of these women were doing it because that's what their husbands wanted. They were not, if you look back now everybody's getting divorced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, if that's what you want to do, that's great. But it was kind of put out there as, you know, this is what my husband likes.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. Do you think that they're actually they're done with her for The Bachelorette? Like, we're not going back.
I can't imagine. Well, she wasn't nothing to look at anyway. I mean, you know.
Well, I thought she would be. She looks great in sweatpants. She looks so fun.
Okay, good morning,
but
Allie.
But she picked a person. She already broke up with him because she went back to Dakota. So that's the whole point. And back in the day, which was the fun part of watching The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, is that they would go into hiding and they would, you wouldn't know who it was. And it was a big reveal.
Yeah.
You know, and now you know, and people aren't keeping it a secret and they're already broken up. So.
Mind you, he looks exactly like Dakota.
Yeah, she's got a type.
Oh, I saw that, the one that she allegedly picked from The Bachelor. Yeah.
Spitting image.
Yeah, he looks like he wants to sell like protein powder on Instagram or something.
Which is crazy. Yeah. I can't even fathom. I'm like, I don't know. I'm at the point where we can just nip all of them. Like, maybe we just should not cross over shows. I think that's also the thing. Ooh. Like, when you talk about like The Bachelor and like Housewives and all, like they're doing like these road trips and all these things now. Like, do we need to do that?
Yeah, I don't think so. I did like the Below Deck crossover though. And
did you like that?
And Salt Lake
City. I didn't
see
that one.
That's good.
I just know they had the Housewives on the road trip or wherever they go together. Yeah. That's maybe we just need to keep shows separate because I think they cast different. I think what they look for, it's very different. I don't know that we need to have everybody, cuz like one is really messy. Like you can't do like a Love and Hip Hop and a Mormon. I mean, that would be
impressive.
You know, let me take that back. That would be impressive.
Gay Bachelor and a new
Gay Bachelor. Let's do Housewives of Atlanta. Yeah. Let's do Below Deck.
Yeah.
And
Love and a Hip-Hop. Reboot Love of Love and Hip Hop. I'll have you know that our executive producer, Pat Kelly, worked on that show.
Ooh, Pat. We gotta talk, Pat. Oh, I can't even imagine Pat dealing with the. Ooh, they would talk probably to Pat.
He was in the writing room and basically like casting and
After this we got to chat.
Yeah,
because
we're gonna get Pat on.
Get him on the group.
He might have trauma from that because that's Love and Hip Hop was different. That's different.
He did bike across New York State, so that was him probably just being like, "Get me out of here."
Yeah,
so,
he was like, "Too."
I need to be not thinking.
Could you imagine him and Jocelyn
miles?
Having a conversation?
I love it.
That could be a cool conversation. Y'all don't know Pat. Pat's very cool.
That's cool.
Well, and am I always this person? I don't want to be this person, but it's like back in the day when reality TV was, it's just so scripted now. Like there was always a scripted element to it, but now it is like planned.
It's wild. Like we need to go back. We were talking about this before. We need to go back. When Nene and Kim, and Nene talk about white refrigerators and nobody wanted a white refrigerator anymore because remember she went and said,
yep.
She rubbed
she
off said, on me. I don't
well, because you knew, like you knew it wasn't serious. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like reality TV like played a part of being funny and it was just like in this like world of like people that you know, they're like, oh, okay, maybe I wish I had that lifestyle. But you know they're a hot mess, so you never really wanted it.
Yeah. Right. They were characters in our lives, like our actual friends, right? Or they were someone's friends, they got on a show. Now it's people designing themselves to be on a reality show.
Yeah.
Making
That's
themselves
really
perfect. There's like now, you know, Instagram face where everyone looks the same. Everyone has the same
lip
liner and eye. Like everyone looks the same. So, you know, now it's, now it's turnkey of, oh, I'm perfect. I have a weird problem with my mom. My boyfriend doesn't like me. And I'm moving. Like, there's all these. Everyone has that same kind of.
It's true.
Story.
It's not like Survivor anymore.
50th season. By the way, it's not 50 years old.
I know it's kind of misleading.
Not to
I was
math,
like, wait. I know it's
do
been
they
around
do two
a while.
In a year or something right. like that.
Mm-hmm. It's Jeff funny Probst. You brought up the Instagram face because I still find myself trying to
contour.
You know, because I never wanted to be on camera. And then, you know, it just happens. So I'm like, Flex. Oh, my makeup looks good today. And then I get on camera and I see something on Instagram. I'm like, oh, like the contrast, you know, like what are these standards that we're being?
I don't think people want them anymore. I don't know. I don't want to see Instagram models anymore. Like y'all all look the same.
I don't filter photos anymore too, just for that reason of like, I don't want to hate myself in 6 months.
Yeah.
Or tomorrow or, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or following the trend because it's ridiculous.
Charles, what is your take in all this? Because
Charles, like, I don't watch none of this.
I was,
Stephen A. Smith is his reality TV.
He's getting bonkers.
But I mean, we back and forth. We have the back and forth and sending the stories, and he got a little into it. But you also watch wrestling, so and you think that's real life. So I don't know.
First off, I do not think.
See, wrestling is a little.
It's crazy.
I do not know. I've been watching wrestling since I was 5. I know that it is nothing but scripted. It's male soap opera.
Yes.
Exactly what it is. Yep. Okay. I'm the one person that when people talk about how it's fake, I'm like, all right, it's scripted.
Yeah.
It's just like a movie. They're not really punching each other in movies. It's just how I look at it. Now,
by choreography.
About the reality TV. Like I said, I hate to be the person that's being the race baiter.
Wait, can I go back to people? Not everybody. Like, I don't want to say that. you know that it's not real, but there are people that still think that.
Oh, yeah.
Wrestling is real. Okay.
Yeah, they'll. Just wanted. They'll die on that hill. I used to watch reality TV. I was big into Love and Hip Hop. Then I got tired of it because. For me, as I was getting older, maybe it's, as Jay-Z said, I'm an old man waving his finger.
Yep.
But I just don't like the depiction that reality TV plays on my people.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's
you
true.
Know, like my girl, she watches Baddies.
Yeah. Oh.
No.
Stop it. Stop it.
Now, that's a whole different level of reality. That makes me lose my mind.
That is a whole different reality, but it's also very, like, demeaning, especially for women.
Women, yes, yeah.
You know, like, the the auditions, they're fighting.
Yeah.
They want to see how you can fight. And I watch, and I'm just like, why are you watching this? But as people say, reality TV is like a car wreck. Like, you want to see the car crash. And that's kind of why we get sucked into it, because it's like I won't be paying attention to it, and then I'll see something and it'll make me go, what? Like, all right, let me fully start watching to see why is this happening. Then it's literally over nothing.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. You know? And then there's this double standard. So when you look at the Black reality TV, they always have the stigma of it being ghetto, toxic, too much.
Mm-hmm.
But then you look at a white reality, it's messy, dramatic, and entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's always like these are the dynamics that stand out between the two, even though they're all in the same category. It's all the same. It's all messy. It's all toxic. It's all drama.
Yep.
And most of them are at their homes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Acting like it's theirs.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I always ask myself, like, why? Why do we watch it so much?
Mm-hmm. Allie, do you want to take that one? Well, why do we watch reality TV? And
yeah, well, we were kind of talking about this a little bit earlier, too, is it used to, for me at least, be a big form of escapism.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But when you're escaping something that is more manageable than the TV show, like, it's not fun anymore. Like, I'm in a place right now where I'm reading way more books. I'm watching, we're in sports season right now, so that's more entertaining to me. But my real life is more settling to me than watching TV. And I don't feel like I'm at a, you know, I think a lot of us get anxious about certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes watching Summer House, where Sierra was saying she's a Black woman and she was dating a white guy in the show and he didn't treat her properly. And so she then got ridiculed by people and she's like, why am I doing this? Like, this could have been a beautiful moment. I like wanted to date this person. And, you know, so she's dealing with stuff outside of the world. I guess what I'm trying to say is we watch it for entertainment, but now the real world is so bad and now reality TV is so bad that now we're going back to just watching sports and playing outside and doing our own things. And I don't know. That
touching grass.
Touching grass. I don't know if that really answer the question, but
no, you know. It does, because I also think about, and I think it's how we've probably been raised, if you're a millennial, the fairy tale ending.
Yes.
And so, you know, I think that's what kind of drew us probably into The Bachelor, The Bachelorette. And then until it became the messy stuff along the way, but then we couldn't help but
watch
it. And maybe, you know what, maybe because, like, if you're not settled in your own life and there's all different probably reasons, but
And even now knowing that it is so scripted, so now it's a wolf in sheep's clothing. You're like, this
it's
is not
authentic at all.
Yeah.
Especially I feel like the longer the seasons go, it gets worse because they're just trying to find these storylines.
Ruining relationships, marriages, kids' lives. So now it's like, now you feel bad. We're watching these characters because they're unlikable. A lot of them are on our shows because they're the bad guy. And there's too many bad guys in the real world right now. I don't want to see it on my TV.
Yeah.
It's not escapism. Yeah. Now you are like in the Matrix. Get me out. Yeah. Right?
Like, we should not have access to all the information we do about the Taylor Frankie Paul situation.
No.
We should have seen her on TikTok.
This police report?
But like, we should not see her like live reactions to this stuff like on her TikTok.
Yeah.
Why do we have access to that?
There's stuff that you don't really know about them. Like, their life that they live on reality TV is fake for reality TV. They're totally not like that. Like, you know, Paris Hilton done had a kid married, and people are like, oh, you had a kid married. But her voice is different. But they've had money to be able to control their narrative. Now you're just getting random Joe Schmoes off the street that can't afford that kind of luxury. So they don't have this other place. Now their people are really finding out their real life information, where that's totally different because they have money for attorneys to do NDAs and all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, and like, you know, like Renee did say, there's no guarantee. Like, going into it, I think people think that, oh, this is going to open up all these doors. And like, when they're done with you, they're done with you.
Yeah.
And then what? You know, you had your fame, but then you're left on your own. And I don't, unless your show's really big, the pay is not.
No, they don't pay well at all. Like, and you have to have so many seasons for it to even be viable. And I mean, a lot of them, I think a lot of people don't want to work. I think people, they don't really know how to manage once they get into that lifestyle to keep it up. And then you have, like, kind of what Renee was saying. They're just like, well, let's just go into acting. It's like, well, let's not do that.
Right.
Let's not act like we're entrepreneurs. Let's not, you know, like, there's been few people that have made it outside. And you have someone like a Candy Burris who has, but she's also accomplished and talented in her own right before. You know what I mean?
She had a story before she
got on
TV.
It was almost because, like, I needed reality TV because I was kind of like, people didn't really know me. I needed to come back into the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's very different than people that don't have any talent and just trying to use it. Kind of like an influencer.
Yeah.
On social media.
I feel like there's a lot more conversations that can be had around this.
So I just need to jump in real quick.
Oh, because, I thought you were telling me to be quiet.
I was giving you a cue to wrap up. But before we wrap this up, just want to clarify that the whole psych thing, that is a real thing, and it is like handled very aggressively.
Yeah.
So the whole psyche vow, that is true.
Per show,
do we have questions that have been asked?
What is that source?
Is it Pat?
Networks have it.
Networks.
Yes.
Like, so big companies with money.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Which is different from like Zeus on Baddies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so my homework for next time, my detective work, is to figure out what these psych evaluations actually consist of. Are they just like filling out a form? One. Charles, why you got to do this to me?
Hey, listen, the execs got in my ear.
And then
next episode.
That's my role.
Next episode.
That's your role.
Watch one of us get psych evaled live on YouTube.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us, Group Chat. And if you want to continue the conversations or make sure that you don't miss next week, Charles, what are they doing?
Like, comment, and subscribe right here, right there. Make sure you do that.
There we go.
There we go. Thanks, guys.